iPads, iPhones, I don't know how Android does it, but if you open the Bible and stuff on there, it'll stay open. I don't have to keep putting my password in there. So bear with me, if you would, just a moment. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray because I got some things to say. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to give your word, Lord God. I ask that it would be fruitful, that it would go out to the congregation, anybody hearing online, and it would affect their hearts, Lord God. It's not me that speaks, but you who speaks through me, Lord God. So I yield myself to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I made mention that it's... I made mention of the fact that Scripture says that a good man or a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. If we can have Proverbs 13:22 up, please. You can put in New King James, whatever version. It all pretty much says the same thing. Amplified, of course, blows it up. But we could just go with the good old-fashioned King James version. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And we leave it at that. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. I just want to put that out there, right? So, Scripture, right? In at Spirit Life Church, we're not going to tell you something is scriptural when it's not.
That's right.
So here you go, Scripture. If you need something to combat the idea that lack and poverty is of God and it makes you a good person and that's the only righteousness you can ever have, you can go through all of Proverbs. I was just thinking about this. I can't find a place in Scripture where poorness, lack, and poverty is not some kind of curse or something that comes upon bad people. So it's weird that, like I said earlier, the religion has robbed, through bad teaching, the church of things. Religion has robbed the church of healing. Not this church, but the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. That can be, it's sadly, did you know most of the things that religion has robbed from the church is only in the Western church? Because you go out to Africa, you go out to these third world countries, and they're believing God for some things, and they're coming to fruition. Right? Now, some people are like, yeah, but... The guy, so he's got two chickens, but he's the only guy in the village with two chickens.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We think everything is about them greenbacks, right? That gold. Here in America, and in the Western church, there's some truth behind that. But we don't know how things operate because we're spoiled brats.
Yeah.
We don't know how things operate in the kingdom outside of America.
Yep.
Let me say it this way, you know. We don't know what true riches are.
Amen.
Not Spirit Life Church, but the Western Church. Because too long things have been handed to us. Like Pastor Ricky had said that he heard before, you know, about the, you know, it's just Oedipo. He never borrowed anything in the Western Church. You know, if you want a new car, you can go get a new car on credit.
Right.
And you can have bad credit.
Yeah.
And you can have, and that's what they're like, hey, we'll get you approved, bad credit, no credit.
Right.
Yep. The whole reason the 2008 house problem was simply because cash was king, and you didn't have to have money or credit.
Yep.
And they'd lend you anything you wanted. Based on a some weird arbitrary number that doesn't actually really exist. Hallelujah. That's for somebody.
Amen.
What I'm getting at and what when God was talking to me about this, and it was funny when Pastor Ricky asked me if I wanted to preach this going to a prosperity conference in Phoenix, Dr. Gene was putting one on this weekend. Yes. And before I got off the phone with him, I knew I was going to talk to you guys about mindset today.
Amen.
Mindset is there's a lot of definitions, right? And there's two mindsets that the world talks about, fixed mindset and this other one, I forgot. Because I don't care about the world's process. I wanted to talk to you about spiritual mindset. But a mindset is something that is taught to you. It is taught behaviors, thoughts, and attitudes towards certain things. Many people in the Western church have been taught since they were kids that humility comes through poverty. That you can't, and they use a scripture, right? I'm getting ahead of myself. They say things like, well, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the needle of an eye or the eye of a needle than for a righteous man to get into heaven. And they stop it right there, just like the children's children thing, right? But is that what the scripture says? Doesn't the scripture actually end with man? This is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when we do that, when we take and we pick and choose and remove pieces to fit our own narrative, sounds like fake news. Pick and choose to fit our own narrative, then we can really easily slip into error. And we can stop believing for healing. We can stop believing for our families to be saved. And we can stop believing for the prosperity that God has in store for us. God really wants the best for you. Now, here's the thing. That does not translate into a fun and fancy, free, woo, life. You are going to have struggles. It's promised in the Bible. But a way out is also promised. But people, too often, they associate their goodness and their righteousness with the struggles they have, with the health they lack. But why? One thing that came out in my reading was this. I don't want my righteousness. If you're walking around on a cane, okay, I'm not going to tread lightly. I walked around on a cane. I don't anymore. Simple as that. God delivered me from it. But if you're walking on a cane and you accept that as a way for God to teach you and to bring you into righteousness, you miss the message of the cross. Because God is not looking for you to be righteous on your own. He is looking for you to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you miss the message of the cross when you lean on your own struggles to show how good God is. My boys are here. As a dad, if I went to Gabe and said, "Hey, I want you to live blessed your entire life. My favor," and I had the ability, right? "My favor is upon you. May you always have more than enough and be broke." Does that make sense? But that's what the church says.
Right. Amen.
Somebody will come to the altar and go, "The favor of God is upon me to be broke." What kind of favor is that? That ain't no favor in my opinion. When I think of favor, outside of party favors, funny hats and whistles, I think of abundance. I think of all the things are just, like, I think of a boat to go out on the river on. I think of a razor or something. Can-Am. I like they look cooler, almost Batmobile-like. I think of that to go out into the desert and enjoy.
Amen.
I think of large rifles to kill big animals. I think of a bigger house to have people over that if I wanted to, I can be like, you go sit in the second living room. I'm going to go into my first living room. Stay out of it. I think of a bigger house with a room that has plumbing built into it so I can have all the things I want and my wife won't complain. Because water changes are a pain. And I want plumbing so I can just drain it there and do all my water. Never mind. That's what I think about. But our mindset, not ours, but the mindset of the church is not ready for that. That's why when people come in here, first timers, and they come in and here comes that tithe and offering message. And they get a little upset. I talked to a guy who said that he loved the message that he received that day. The worship was on and popping, right? I don't know if he said on and popping, but that's what I think. But then this guy, and they were talking about this church. This is back when Pastor Tim and Barbara were running it. Then this guy got up and started talking about giving. And he gave a whole, like, five-minute, like, lecture. Again, it's a lecture when you're talking about something somebody doesn't want to talk about, right? Yeah. He gave this five-minute lecture about giving and how it's God's plan. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And I never came back. I'm like, well, was the sermon good? Oh, it was great. Really moved me. But so a good message... the message, here's the thing, the message spoke to him even when he was offended by the yeah, offering. Yeah. Right? That's a good message. Yeah. To get past the offense. But he never came back. The worship was good. That's like 90% of most of the people out there go, well, if the worship's bad, I won't even hang around. Yeah. But they talked about money. Why not? Some people have this mindset that all ministers should be these broke paupers. It's stupid. Scripture says that they're worth double portion. A double portion. Hallelujah. I heard... never mind. we've given some really, the church as a whole has given to the pastors here, not just Pastor Ricky and Chelsea, but Pastor Tim and Barb before them, gave them some really cool things.
Yes.
Like a car, yes. Right?
Amen.
A dream car. It wasn't the exact car that Pastor Tim wanted. We know that. But it was a Buick Skylark, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whew! Pretty. And it was a classic. It was a classic car. Beautiful. Beautiful. Pastor Ricky and I got to drive it around a couple times. We made some funny videos. They didn't have audio, so we never showed them, but it was awesome. We gave Pastor Ricky a TV. Somebody told him, man, when they showed that TV, I felt the call of God on my. that's good. That's the mindset we need. We need to get out of this craziness about you gotta be busted. I wrote there's two. What came out was there's two mindsets from a spiritual standpoint. There's the lack or poverty mindset, and then there's the abundance mindset, or the curse and the blessing.
Amen.
The curse mindset, poverty, lack, doubt, defeat, fear, the curse, obviously, poor. The blessing mindset, prosperity, abundance, assurance, victory, confidence, blessing, rich. These are the things that we need to get away from, this idea that that being broke makes us righteous. Because only Jesus makes us righteous.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to turn to two places. Isaiah 61. Excuse me. And it's just verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel. Oh, this is Amplified Classic. You could leave it in New King James, though. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And then we're going to... Jesus actually says this if you go to Luke 4. Jesus goes into the synagogue, as was his custom, is what it says, right? 4:18. It's Luke 4:18. I'm going to say New King James, too. The Spirit of, and he takes the book, opens it, finds a place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord is verse 19. This is what Jesus came for. Now, we know gospel is actually just translated good news, right? It means good news. Dr. Ricky has said, what's good news to the poor? You ain't got to be poor no more, right? And most people would be like, well, this is all has to do with just with salvation, but that's not what it says. Now, I have it broke down. I could tell you exactly where God's salvation is. It is here. And it ties back to the curse.
Yes.
But I want to talk to you about the gospel today, the mindset that we should have. And I'm going to run through these really, really quick. So you could just go to that screen, and I'm just going to read some things. So in Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden, to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Right? Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from him, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This is the origin story of mankind, right? Of course, we know creation, so on and so forth. And this is just is particularly for Adam and Eve. But God, all the way back in the beginning, wanted the best for you. And he went through and made all the different animals to help Adam to not feel lonely. But nobody was comparable to him. Nothing that he had created. So he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him a woman. Thank you, God. I think that's wonderful. I don't know where I'd be without my wife. I'd be lonely and bored. Now, chapter 3. And this is the only time mankind has ever regretted asking a woman for anything. And we obviously didn't learn our lesson then, because never mind. verse 16 in chapter 3. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply. Oh, this is the curse.
Yes.
I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain, and you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. But God already had a plan to fix that.
Yeah. Amen.
It's my belief, and it's, I can't like point you to a scripture, so I will say that. It's my belief that because Jesus is eternal, Jesus was the one in the garden with Adam and with Eve, right? And then the second the curse came, Jesus said, I'll go. I'll fix this. When I taught OSL and the love of God, that is something that I always wanted to bring forth, is that Jesus loved you so much that back in the beginning, as soon as the curse was brought out, Jesus had a plan to call you to himself.
Amen.
And I always say this, that even if it was just you,
yep.
He would have considered it worth it.
Yep.
He would have still died on the cross.
Amen.
And he wouldn't be content in that, but he would be happy that you came to him. That's just a little sidebar. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? Let's go ahead and pull Luke 4:18 up in the Amplified if we could. Back to Luke, back to the same thing we were talking about. In the Amplified. I'll do the Amplified Classic, so... And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised. Take special attention on that bruised. Crushed and broken down by calamity. I'm going to go to the Passion. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, healing for the brokenhearted, new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. Now, if you know anything about the curse, what happens? What does the snake do to mankind? Bruises heel, right? That's the curse, right? And he shall step on your head, I'm paraphrasing, and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus came to save you, and it's covered in that part where he says, I've come. I'm going to go back to Amplified Classic. To send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised. So in that, where he talks about the good news to the poor, the release of captives, recovery of sight, and to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Everything that God has for you is right here.
Amen.
This is all good news for every person that reads it and believes it. But the mindset is... that we need to adjust is the fact that right here he says the good news to the poor. Mm-hmm. Heather and I have both been poor before. As children, we both experienced homelessness. My parents were good enough to us to find a place for us to live. I think they lived in a pickup truck for maybe a couple months or something like that. They sent us to our grannies at one point, and then we had some really nice people that they sent us to live with. But we were actually homeless, like homeless. And then we became homeless again later on in life, and we lived in the backyard of my grandma's house in a fifth wheel trailer. Now that's not homeless like there's no roof over our head, but there was nothing that was ours. And so you can have your own judgment of what homelessness is, but that was homeless.
Yeah, amen.
Heather's family lived at campsites in tents. We have experienced poorness. We have experienced lack. We have experienced homelessness. If you told me that God, the guy who is hope for the poor, just wanted me to be poor to show how good I was at that point, I would think that you were mad.
Amen.
A poor person doesn't find hope in more lack. There is no hope except for Jesus in poverty. It just doesn't exist. When you do not know if you're going to eat today, that is not hope.
Amen.
That is not favor.
That's right.
That is not goodness.
Right.
Unlearn that mentality.
Yes.
Yes.
That because I can barely pay my car payment, it's good for me. Because again, you're missing the point of the cross.
Yes.
You need to make sure that you're not trying to take on your own righteousness, because that's all that is.
Yes.
Pride.
It's pride.
Yep.
That's all that is when you're trying to prove how much you love God by always being crippled over, by always being broke, just put a name there. You're relying on what you can do and what you can show the world.
That's right.
But God doesn't ask you to do anything but show His goodness.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you told somebody, well, you know, I'm walking with this limp because God sees me fit to do it, is that showing God's goodness?
No.
It's not at all. We need to get to a point where we're showing God's goodness. A lot of people get down on us, our belief system, that because we believe in the prosperity, the goodness, the favor of God. They get down on us and they think that we believe that once you accept Jesus and as long as you're paying your tithe, nothing's ever going to go wrong. No! No, in fact, the more I chase after God, the more the devil tries to derail it. But you get after it, you believe God, you get some grit, and you just step over into another side. Step one more step closer. Keep going after the things of God. Like I was saying earlier, don't get complacent and lazy in your situation just because things stopped being tough. The curse mindset says I'm a poor sinner, barely making it to heaven. The blessing mindset says I am blood-bought, born-again, child of God. Hallelujah. Curse mindset says the sickness is God's plan as a means of teaching me a lesson. The blessing mindset says God doesn't send sickness, but it is only of the devil.
Yes.
The curse mindset says that it's a blessing to be barely getting by. The blessed mindset says that Jesus came that I may have life and have it to the full. Y'all know that scripture, right? God wants us to have life and have it to the full. to the flowing over.
Yes.
Overflow is not lint in your pocket. And if it is, empty your pockets before you wash your clothes. You can go on for days listing the different things that the curse mindset versus the blessing mindset has affected, has put into our minds for so long. But there is so many scriptures that say that you are blessed. That being anything on the curse side is bad. That God wants to provide something for you, not take something away. Even the scripture that people lean on for that. Well, the good Lord taketh or giveth and the good Lord taketh away. That was Job complaining. Come on now. Let's get past that. Let's get past the I'm just a poor old sinner, barely making it by. I'm gonna slide into heaven smelling like fire. No. God has so much for you. He just wants you to go after it. Stop sitting back. Let's trust God. Let's step out in faith and do something just wild and crazy. That's what He wants. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. And when you start seeking Him, things will open up to you. Y'all know I didn't believe in any of this before, right? Have I told you that? 100%, not that I ever grew up in a Baptist church, but I was 100% Baptist-type theology.
Amen.
I'm barely going to make it to heaven because I'm a sinner, lost in my sin. It's okay to not have anything because that just means you're closer to God. I really used to believe this stuff, guys. Because it was taught to me for so long. My parents came from what really was a Word of Faith congregation. But I was in the kids' ministry. We didn't get this kind of teaching. You know, they were more about teaching us about God and God's love for us and who He was and who we are in Christ. This is the meat and potatoes things where God doesn't want you to be broke. God doesn't want you to be sick. God wants the best for you.
Amen.
We need to understand that.
Amen.
Just a note I have. It's super hard to visit kindness to the widow and to the orphan when you are in lack.
Yeah.
There's only one acceptable, good and acceptable religion, right? And that's to take care of the widow and the orphan. How am I going to do that with the lint in my pocket? Can't. I want to. If you're in need, I want to be able to help you.
Yes. Amen.
I can't do it on my own.
Nope.
It would be wrong for me to say the reason I can do this is because I'm so awesome.
Yeah. Amen.
No, the goodness of God gives me that ability.
Yes. Amen.
I can go and buy you groceries because God gave me the ability. God got me a sale. God got me a bonus. God got me a new job. You know, I got a new job. It's funny. I was so excited, and I, to this, sometimes I think maybe I had missed it. I don't know. More now than ever. I was a banker a long time ago, 6 years ago, and then I had the opportunity. I actually interviewed to be a manager at the bank. And I apparently messed that interview up because they offered me a different job. They're like, what do you think about being a financial advisor? I was like, I hadn't thought much about it at all, but. Which always, it's like a theme for me. So they created this job for me. I have to drive to Kingman 3 days a week and have Havasu another 2 days, so forth. Being a financial advisor really never worked out. There's a couple reasons why I won't get too far into it boring you. But a couple of weeks ago, a month and a half or something like that, the market director for the bank came to me, pulled me aside, and he says, "Hey, what do you think about being a banker?" I hadn't thought much about it at all. Now, I had entertained it in my mind a couple times, but I really hadn't put any real thought into it. And then they offered me a boatload of money, and so I went back to being a banker. I have to drive to Kingman 5 days a week, but I'm back to being a banker, and I'm going to make so much money. I'm very, very happy of it. And it's not because of me. That's the thing. God put me in a position to be in a position to get more money, and to get more and to do more, because he has a favor. It's upon me. I was always afraid that if it didn't work out, they were going to demote me to a banker. Because it really is a demotion in certain sense. No, but they're like, "Hey, we got it. We're going to have you move down for more money." Hallelujah. I thought you'd never ask. When I look at it that way, it's pretty funny. Go backwards, make more. Only God. Only God. You can only do that with God. If you look at all, if you look through the Bible at all the men and the women in the Bible that followed God, you'd be hard pressed to find one that God left in a mess. Even if they started in meagerness, they ended wealthy. Ruth, Rahab, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Solomon, David, Gideon, Job. Job got double for his trouble, right? Is God not the same? You may be in a spot right now. You're like, "I hear you saying it, and I want to believe it, but it's so out there." Start small. Y'all don't have to like take this all in it and just jump on after like a $800,000 house, which is a 2-bedroom in this market. But hold on, the favor of God says that you can get an $800,000 house for $200,000. Thank God for that. I've noticed that about hanging out with Pastor Ricky. I've noticed that deals come to him like nobody's business. Wow. Wow. "Hey, you got a new boat. Where'd that come from?" "Oh, I paid $20 for it and a high five." What? Y'all think I'm joking? It might have been $20, but you think I'm joking? I'm not. Like, deals follow that man. He doesn't mind paying top dollar. He is not a cheapskate by any stretch of the imagination. I know this because I'm telling myself, I have always been, I'm not anymore, but I've always been, "Well, we can probably get by with the generic." Right? And I did that here. In our AV system. I'm who upgraded us to digital with some wonky ways. I'm not even joking. There was a time where if you had a cell phone, you could have taken over the entire service. Because I went some backwards way to get us digital. Okay? Pastor Ricky says that the first time I had to buy something, he's like, "Yeah, but is that going to fix it as like a Band-Aid? Or is it going to fix it? Like, fix it." I'm like, "Well, it's probably going to get us by for a little while." He's like, "I don't want a little while. Let's do it right the first time. We got to stop doing all this every couple months." It's God's house. And so they do believe everything with excellence. So I stopped even looking at the budget brands. Because I know I'm going to go to Pastor Ricky and he's going to be like, "Is this the best?" "No, but it's what we need." But is it what we need? Like, it'll get us by? Let's go ahead and look for something better. Is this what's going to fix it long term? So don't be cheap. And if you're not cheap, the deals will find you. Oh my goodness. It's so good. I've learned a lot. I get the privilege of hanging out with him, though, so. Hallelujah. If God can take a lonely old shepherd and his old barren wife and turn them into many nations, he can change your life too.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're a widow like Ruth, a harlot like Rahab, a contentious trickster like Jacob, a womanizer like David, or the least of everyone like Gideon. God has a plan. He has a promise, and he has a desire for your life. God wants so much more for you. I don't care where you're at. Here's what I want you to do. Can we get some kind of music playing, just softly, gently? I think Let It Rain's on there. Let's play that in the background. Here's what I want. The cool thing about fixing stuff, like if you got things wrong, wash it off, right? Scrape your knee, you wash it off. You get a boo-boo, whatever, you wash it off. Your hands are dirty, get rid of it, wash it off. I want us to take a second, because we're still kind of early, a little bit. I want you to close your eyes. Bow your hands, close your eyes. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to get the gospel message out of the way, but I'm going to bring that forth. If you're hearing this today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Maybe you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you feel like you've gone so far astray that he doesn't even know who you are. If that's you, you can raise your hand also. And we're going to get through this part kind of quick. No hands are raised. Everybody's safe. That means that the promises in the Bible are yours. So with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, any mindset that you've had that is lacking, that is not what Scripture says, confess it. Confess to me, just quietly in your seat, say, God, I've been that way, I've thought that way, take it from me now, in the name of Jesus, and I'll agree with you, Father God, that we're coming against those mindsets that are not of the Scriptures, they are not of your Son, they are not of you, and we cast them aside, we wash our minds free of those mindsets, Lord God. Because from this day forth, we're going to believe your word for what your word says. We are healed. We are rich. Thank you, Father God. If you believe what the Scripture says, that from this day forward, even when struggles come, you will not waver. It will strengthen your faith. It will lead you to a deeper understanding, more revelation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God.
The Lord reigns.
Shabbat.
Let the earth be glad.
Hallelujah.
Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness
Stop
and
letting
justice
the devil to lie.
Are the foundation of his throne.
Believe
Fire
God
goes before
for those
him
things.
And consumes his foes on every
for
side.
For abundance.
His lightning.
And abundance
the world.
Is any. It could
the
be abundance in any area
trembles.
Of your life. Health.
The mountains melt like wax before
finances,
the Lord.
Family.
Before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens
let God just pour it out on
you. And all peoples will
Let
see
it rain.
His glory.
Life.
Oh, we want to see your glory, God.
It's soaking wet.
Oh, God, we want to see your glory. You want to see his glory. Lift your voices. Lift your hands. We want to see your glory, God.
Thank you.
Oh, God, send your glory. We want to see you move in our generations, oh, God. Come
know, did y'all get something?
We want to see your power.
God is good, right? All time. In his mercy, Stephanie and I, we were out in the hallway. Where they dedicated the temple to God. They all came together. And they just praised God in that way. They said, for God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. They did this so frequently, and I'm not going to try to recreate it because that's not me. Will that be me? That wouldn't be God. I don't have any clearance to do it. But when things are, when you're in that spot and you don't have anything else that you can think of, just kick back and say, you know what? For God is good and his mercy endureth forever. And watch the table turn. Watch things change. Because when you have a revelation that God is good and that his mercy endureth forever, means today is part of forever. His goodness, his kindness, his mercy, and his love for you endures through all the ages. And it's for you now. I think I'll have flip a coin, somebody close the service.
Awesome word. Awesome word.